Mini-episode 984 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to mini episode number 984 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here for one of the great fun segments that we get to do every year, and we are pairing up two folks that we love to have on the show. We have back with us, as he has been a number of times previously, national radio host Jody McDonald. You can catch him on, of course, any number of outlets nationally, in Philly, in New York. He is back on with us talking Triple Crown and specifically the Kentucky Derby. First of all, we're going to be looking at how everything shakes out for, first of all, the Saturday race in Louisville and potential implications beyond that. Jody, it's always a privilege to have you on for our roundtable. Thank you very much for being on today, sir. How are you?
It is my pleasure. I am doing well, but I'll tell you how well I'm doing at about 6:50 on Saturday afternoon. That will dictate the rest of the weekend for sure.
Well, yeah, justifiably so. And by the way, we'll see if a version of that word comes up early on when we're going through the main horses of this here. But somebody who is also a noted horse player out there, a connoisseur of the ponies, whether it be the thoroughbreds or harness racing, as the case may be, FDH Lounge dignitary and New York Philly area radio guy Steve Callis, of course, WFAN 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. You catch him on there regularly with Joe Stazak, as well as his podcast with Joe Stazak, weekly podcast Callis Thoughts. And a guy who, as much as I've been on with Joe, ultimately Steve's regular appearances dwarf mine. It is always great to get Steve on the show to get his perspectives on any different sports. We've had him on to talk just about every kind of sport imaginable, but horse racing, I know, is particularly near and dear to your heart, Steve.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as Jody. Happy to do this. Waiting for Saturday night at the same time, of course. And I've done a number of things with Jody. I think my favorite is doing the horses with him, so I'm looking forward to this segment a lot. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm very happy to have both of you on, and I'm in an especially good mood as we are recording this here Thursday evening because, Steve, never mind what I said to you off-air earlier tonight, Minnesota Kevin Love is back, and I, as a Cavs fan, am in my glory as we are doing this. So I'm in about the best mood for this segment that I could possibly be. But I am loving life, and doing this great segment with you guys just puts me in an even better mood. So what we generally do for these segments when we're going into the Triple Crown races here is to go serpentine-style round-robin. This is a chance to talk about one horse at a time. It's a little chance to get some friendly competition going along the way here. So the way we're going to do it tonight, we'll go three rounds, three horses apiece for us here. We can talk about any other horses that are noteworthy. We've got Jody Mack on the clock first. I will be second. Steve Callis is third, and then he'll start the second round in serpentine style. And again, Steve Callis, all the conspiracy theorists out there looked at how Patrick Ewing made it to the Knicks in 85, and I understand you have some similar thoughts as to how you ended up third.
Rick, I'm just filing an objection. I saw the Derby draw on TV. Where's the Rick Morris Derby draw for this segment? It should be on YouTube by now. Somehow I always seem to come up third in a three-horse race, but be that as it may, I'm ready to go, and I know you guys are ready to go as well.
We are. We absolutely are. And up in the position to potentially go with the chalk, if he so chooses, this is a very, very interesting race. We have one horse in the mix who is getting widely compared to American Pharoah, the dominant Triple Crown horse of the last couple of decades. Really, you got to go back to 1978 to find the previous Triple Crown winner in Affirmed. So we'll see if that's the direction you're going in, Jody, or if you think there's somebody better if you had your pick of any of the horses at the top.
Well, I'm going to give you the horse that I will put on top, and I will tell you that this comes after much study and film work and debate and inner debate and the like, because I think this, over the last 5, 6, 8 derbies, there are more horses that I just can't bring myself to throw out than I've had years. I've trimmed down the field from 20 to 11. Usually I can go from 0 to 15, no problem, and get it down to 5. I'm having trouble getting down from the 9 that I'm at. But in that group of 9, there is one that I do like above all others, and that will be my first selection, and I'll leave the favorite for either of you two guys, because I'm not going to take Justify. The horse that has been most impressive for me all year has been Horrible. Winning both of his prep races in Florida, not only did he do so impressively, but he did so in different styles. In the Holy Bull, he ran right off the pace, grabbed the lead before the stretch, and then just pulled off, and won easily. In the Florida Derby, he didn't get as good a break. There was an unbelievable speed duel up front with Promises Fulfilled, and he was very happy to rate as far as 9th place on the backstretch, and just picked off horses one by one by one by one until he got to the top of the stretch, and then pulled off and absolutely buried every horse in the field except for Huffberg. I think that the Derby Trail runs through Florida this year. I think they had the best preps. I think they had the best fields in the preps, and Audible was just very impressive in winning both of his two races. Worked well in Florida before Shipner Churchill. Had a mediocre work the other day, but that's the read on Audible is he's not a morning horse. He's an afternoon horse. He doesn't work that well. Todd Fletcher told everybody before he showed up in Churchill, listen, you're not going to be wowed by this horse in the morning, but you may be wowed by him on Kentucky Derby Day. I think he's the best horse. I was a little put off by the fact that John Velasquez chose to ride Vino Rosa. I think that's more of an owner decision than a horse decision. He's very close with Michael Poli, the owner of Vino Rosa. I trust Johnny V, and I think he's as good a jockey as there is. So that disconcerts me a little. But when you pick up Javier Castellano, it isn't like you're picking up a scratch jock. He's one of the best in the business as well, and he's won. He won the Holy Bull with Audible. So I'm pretty comfortable with my choice. He's 8-1. He's 3rd or 4th choice on the morning line. I will readily take 8-1 on Derby Day. I'll hope for more, but I'll be plenty happy with 8-1 on Audible. He would be my first choice.
Well, having done horse segments with you previously, Jody Mack, I'm not completely surprised because, again, you have the guts to kind of go your own way on something like this and to not feel automatically pressured to go with the monster favorite. I can't say that I have that same spine of steel. So I, with the second pick, am going to go with Justify, which for a horse running in Kentucky, and one of my favorite shows of all time was set in Kentucky called Justified. One could say this is a hunch bet, but it is far more than that. Obviously, again, a lot of people are talking about the curse of Apollo, and you go back to 1882 for somebody not to run any races as a 2-year-old and then end up just running strictly as a 3-year-old. But again, the flashes of dominance that he has shown that led a lot of people to compare him to American Pharoah, I got to go for Upside. I am a greedy guy. Again, as referenced earlier, lifelong Clevelander, fan of the Cavs. I see somebody with LeBron James talent out there. I'm not going to blink at it. So I do not have the same kind of spine to say I'm not going to take a strong favorite here. I'll take him gladly in the second spot. And Steve, I'm sure knowing me as you do, you knew there was no way Justify was getting past me.
Well, I knew it would get past Jody because you know, Rick, that Jody and I are not picking favorites.
I mean,
we're just not. So I think you lucked out. You probably should have rigged it and put yourself third because I wouldn't have picked Justify. You know, you might have picked Justify for purposes of this little exercise, but in terms of picking the Kentucky Derby winner or horses that will be best in the Triple Crown, I would not pick them. Jody Mack would not pick them. obviously he's 3 for 3. You know, I find the curse of Apollo interesting because this should have stopped. Like, a lot of people are saying this is the year it'll stop because not only Justify, but Magnum Moon didn't race it as a 2-year-old.
That's right.
But the last 10 years, everybody's been lightly raced. The last, you know, this has all changed. 10, 15 years, all these horses are lightly raced, but none of them don't race it too. Yet none of them have won the Derby. That might change on Saturday. I agree with you. But I absolutely wouldn't pick Justify, and I don't know if we're going to get into the reasons. You know, Jody Mack makes a good point, because I backed off of Audible a little bit because of the Johnny Velasquez thing, but he makes a good point. The Micropoli stable, all the New York guys, they won the Wood. Everybody was thrilled with that. But, boy, Jody, I got to think, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe you're right, but this is the Derby. I would think of Velasquez. He had his choice of those four, I guess, that Pletcher has. I would have thought he'd pick who he thought was the best. But you make a very good point that I didn't think of, and it might be an owner thing. But an owner thing in a stake race, you know, even at Saratoga is one thing. An owner thing in the Derby strikes me as another one, but that's probably a good point. I should probably raise Audible in my personal rankings. But I'm going to pick the horse I like to win the Derby, so I will pick him for my Triple Crown pool here, is the 6-horse Good Magic. And I've heard all the negatives about the Bluegrass Stakes, and I've heard the negatives that this horse, you know, wasn't, his buyers aren't that good. But the reality is, last year, he only raced 3 times. His 3rd time, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And he's got a trainer, Chad Brown, who was the Eclipse Award winner last year. He's got a jock, Jose Ortiz, who was the Eclipse Award winner last year. The horse, Good Magic, was the 2-year-old Eclipse Award last year. And I understand nobody's won from the Bluegrass, who has won the Bluegrass since, like, the 90s, but I'll point out Street Sense got beat, like, a head or a neck in 2007, and he won the Derby, so that doesn't scare me. But I have heard a lot of criticisms of him, but I have to say, I'll be interested to think what you guys think, because I found this out by accident. I was just watching some videos and stuff. Good Magic's race was a 0.5 second slower than the Santa Anita Derby. And Justify really got his own way in the Anita Derby. But here's the interesting thing I wanted to ask you guys about. In Keeneland, in Lexington, the Friday before, it was 65 degrees in Lexington, Kentucky, the day before Good Magic raced. Overnight, it went to the 30s, and it snowed. And in the morning, there was snow on the ground as he's going to race that afternoon. At race time, track was fast, at race time the temperature was 40 degrees. So I think, to me, that lifts up his performance a whole lot, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this yet. Whereas at Santa Anita, it was 75 and sunny. So you can't tell me that it was a slower time and this and that. So that really moved Good Magic up a lot in my mind. And these guys, Chad Brown, the trainer, said, by their own plan, since he was monstrous in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, you know, in his 3rd race of the year, they wanted to do 3 races this year, and I think his races have been good. So Good Magic is my pick for the number 3. I'd love to hear what you guys want to say about, if anything, about this weather differential, whether Jimmy Mackey think it makes a difference, for example, because I normally wouldn't even think of that, except I just saw that showed us snow on the ground the morning that he raced at Keeneland. And again, I think that means something, even though it was the Bluegrass. And then I'll get to my 4th.
Well, Steve, I'm the layman here, so I will just quickly say I agree with you and turn to Jody Mack.
I think it's legit. I am not a fan of Good Magic, even though the point you make is a fair one. I just think the horse will be overbet. We've become so analytical in the numbers in all sports, and horse racing was ahead of the curve in this, and now that is getting as granular as any other sports when they're breaking down the analytics. I still like numbers, but I think some of the general numbers are also pretty good, and they have been kind of pushed to the side because we have such inside numbers and broken down numbers and the like. Good Magic is 2 for 5 in his lifetime. As you mentioned, he won the Breeders' Cup Championship last year. He was a 2-year-old of the year. He only won 1 race. That was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. If you're going to win one, that's the one you want to win.
That's right.
But he was 0-for-2 to that point. Came back in his prep, yes, off a layoff, significant layoff, but was beaten rather handily, as a matter of fact, by Promises Fulfilled, who I don't like at all in this race, and did run a very good Bluegrass. He to me, kind of a hit or miss horse. He may hit and he may win. I will bet he misses, and I will keep him out of all of my exotics come Saturday.
Well, Steve, you got a second pick coming up here to start the second round, so that is the upside to being in the three-hole here, is you get your two picks back-to-back, two of the first four, as it were. So who's going to be your second one?
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I think Jody's right, though. I'm going to pick 9 to that, and I'm not going to have a problem finding a horse who has a chance, because I agree with him. This is the toughest race in terms of how many horses can win that I can remember. I mean, going back 20, 25 years, just thinking about it, never mind 30 years or 40 years, which unfortunately I can go back. But in any event, my second choice, who I also think can win the race, it's going to be interesting. I assume at the end we're going to give who we like and exactas and triples and stuff. But the other one I like is the 11 Bolt d'Oro with Victor Espinoza. And I'll point out that of all the jockey changes in the race, this to me is the biggest, not because Castellano is bad. I think he's very good, but he's never won a Derby, and Victor Espinosa has won 3. And, of course, he's also a Triple Crown winning jockey a few years ago with American Pharoah. I really like the way he raced. I won't say I throw out the last race, but as I said, for Justify in the Santa Anita Derby to go 24-47-4, that's crawling. The race was over to me at the half. And so Bolt d'Oro came early, made a run at him, got to him, couldn't match him in the stretch, but I viewed that totally as a slow pace, and I don't think there's any way they're going to go like 24-48 in the Derby. If they do, if Justify's on the lead, the race might be over then too. I don't know. But I thought Bolt d'Oro raced really well. I love the jockey change again. Castellano's a great jockey, as Jody said. But Victor Espinoza is a guy who's won 3 Derbies and a Triple Crown. This is his first time riding this horse, but I think he has a big-time chance to win the race. But again, I agree with Jody. I could say that about 7 or 8 horses in this race, and I'm sure we'll talk about some more. But those are my two picks, Good Magic and Bolt d'Oro.
Very interesting picks, very good justifications given for those. This is what's fascinating as it comes back around to me, because a lot of times, of course, I tend to be Chalky McChalkerson on these type of things here. So as far as the FDH draft board goes, I'm actually getting the top 2 horses on the board. I am going chalk at this point. I am doubling down, gentlemen. I am spitting in the face of the curse of Apollo, because I'm going for Magnum Moon with my next pick here. So I'm giving myself 2 chances to break that curse. Some would feel that would be foolish, a curse of, what, 136 years? But Magnum Moon, to me, presents a lot of value here in the 5 spot. That's what I'm going to take. And this is a thing where, again, with the 2 horses that I've taken thus far, and Jody, we know that you weren't much on Good Magic. What's interesting is you're making the 6th pick overall and then the 7th pick, your final 2 picks here. And yet my guess would be most of the ones that you are very much interested in are probably still there.
They absolutely are. And I think it's very interesting that just as far as exacta goes on our picks, Steve, 2 horses, I would call my 2 toss horses. I will not use either of these 2 horses. When you're betting the Kentucky Derby in a race like this where you've got 8 or 9 or 10 you can make an argument for, you have to pick 1 or 2 out and say, all right, even though they figure, I'm not going to use them. I'm going to try and find what I don't like about them more than I like about them. And the 2 that I landed on in that vein were Bolt d'Oro and Good Magic. Those are the 2 I'm not using. So Steve got my toss exacta. As you mentioned, Rick, you got the Apollo exacta.
Yes.
Not outrageous. I can't toss either of those 2 horses, but I wouldn't put either one of them on top.
Sure.
My exacta is the Florida Derby exacta. I think they're going to run 1-2 just like they did down at Gulfstream. Hofburg has only had 3 career races. Broke his maiden right before the Florida Derby. Ran very impressive when they jumped him all the way to Florida Derby. And he was beaten 3 lengths by Apollo. Mississippi ran 3rd in that race. Was 7 and change behind. Audible beat the 3rd place horse by 10 and change lengths. Hofburg was almost as impressive in his third career start, running 2nd, as Audible was in winning it. And he's trained by Bill Mott, who doesn't have a history for Triple Crown victories of life, because he doesn't try and get triple crown horses. He's one of the best grass trainers in the country. He develops his horses slowly. He looks to win summer stakes at Saratoga and the like. He doesn't worry about the triple crown. For him to bring his horse as quickly as he has and rush him into the triple crown, he thinks he's got a monster on his hands. And he's been working like a monster in the morning down at Florida before they shipped him to Churchill, and they shipped him to Churchill early. He got two works over the Churchill trip and was great in both of them. He's listed at 20-1. Even as this is only his fourth start, it should probably be more than that. I believe it's going to be less than that. I don't think I'm going to get 20. I'm going to have to settle for 15. But I think we have a rerun of the Florida Derby, Audible over Huffberg.
Very interesting. So you got those two. Yeah, each of us has an exacta of a different kind thus far. For your third and final pick, Jody, again, I got to believe from the way that you've described it here that there are still horses left that are very, very attractive to you, and that I would go so far as to guess it's probably a tough pick, because I would guess that you have one, two, or maybe even three all lined up pretty close together. Would I be correct in assuming that?
You would be dead on accurate. As a matter of fact, I've got my three top horses. As I said, I'm going to try and beat Steve's horses. While I respect the two Apollo-beating horses, more so Magna Moon, then Justify, I will use them underneath. But the three top horses I have in order are Audible, Huffberg, and I'm a Flame Away guy. And I backed him in the off-season winter book. He's had as many career starts as anybody in the field. I don't think he's going to win, but he's always in the mix. And I think he's got the ability to stay close enough to the pace. I don't think my boy Jack's going to be able to hit the board. He's the only true closer in the race, because I don't think they're going to go fast enough that the race is going to fall down. I don't think Promises Fulfilled is going to do the same thing that he did in the Florida Derby and just run an ungodly number and get beat 30 lengths. I think it'll be a fair pace up front, which means you're going to want high cruising speed and a soft pace, but be close type style. And Flamway has that. I think he can hang around. He may get a suck up third or fourth, somewhere thereabouts. I don't think he's going to win. But if you look at tries and supers, I would put Flamway in the mix. I'll take him for my third horse.
Flamaway is a very interesting, very exotic pick in that spot there, no question about it. What's funny is, again, this draft board that I've put together for FDH, I said before, I got the top two horses on it, Justify, Magna Moon. Audible was third on our board. I'm going to get the fourth one. This is amazing. I'm going to get three of the top four. Now, gentlemen, I would not get rich betting any of these if I were to do so. Obviously, the odds on all of these are going to be low for good old Chalky McChalkerson, myself here. But I'm going to go with Mendelsohn for my pick. And again, I'm going to defy the curse of foreign-born horses, the United Arab Emirates. I'm throwing that curse out the window as well. And I am going for the potential excellence and the upside of this majestic horse in the third spot here for me. So the Mr. Irrelevant of the horses here, we won't say Mr. Ed, but that pick is going to go to you, Steve, in the ninth spot overall.
Well, I have to say, if I tell you I like the horses in the Derby, it's probably these eight. But since this is a Triple Crown thing, right, Rick?
Is yeah.
You told me this is like...
That's right.
You'll be graded. You'll put it on the same TV station that the draw for this show was on, I'm sure. And we'll see who the winner was. But I am going to pick... Well, first of all, I like Huffberg. He's the wise guy horse for sure. And interestingly, and Jody will know this, you know he can get the distance because he's by Tappet. And Jody Mack and I were on a show a couple of years ago, and we both picked Tonalit to win the Belmont on the air, and of course he won the Belmont. He's a Tappet as well, so you know he can get the distance. And I probably would have taken Huffberg if Jody took him high. He took him essentially in the second round, if you will. But yeah, I think he's got a big shot to be close at the end and possibly win. But I'm going to take a horse that Jody Mack doesn't like, so it'll make me 3-for-3. There's no way we'll be on the Tonalist bandwagon together like we were last time. But the third horse I'm going to take, and this is really pretty much my ninth pick, but I don't give him a big chance here, but I think he wins the Belmont. I'll predict now that my boy Jack will be flying late. It might not be fast enough. He might not get a piece, but he's then not going to race in the Preakness, which is shorter, and then he'll take that longer rest than anybody else will have in the Belmont, and I think he wins the Belmont. So I will take my boy back under the theory that he will win the Belmont.
Very, very interesting. Well, when you look at these, and I'll stay with you first here, Steve, on this. In terms of the horses taken, and again, the respective lineups for Jody, Audible, Hofburg, Flame Away for me, Justify, Magnum Moon, Mendelsohn for Steve, Good Magic, Bolt Oro, and My Boy Jack. That means that the number six horse on the FDH draft board, Vino Rosso, undrafted, as were a couple of other interesting ones, Enticed, Noble Indy, Free Drop Billy, as of this point, not taken, and that means that they won't be taken in our draft here. So, Steve, in terms of any type of other picks, any type of exotic picks you might be looking to make for Saturday, whether it be horses we've mentioned, horses we haven't mentioned, who are ones that you would lean on?
Well, I think Vino Rosso, my problem is, and I'm old-fashioned, I know horses have won from the auxiliary gate in the last few years, not the least of which was American Pharoah and, of course, Big Brown. I still have kind of a bias against them. I think I would have liked Vino Rosso strongly with John Velasquez. I didn't look at the angle that Jody looked at in terms of the owner. But if he had drawn, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I think I would have liked him maybe even to win the race. And it doesn't mean he can't win from the 18, because it's been proven lately that you can win from the 18 and the 20. You know, so that auxiliary gate that starts at 15, those horses can win, but I did kind of discount them. I did like Magnum Moon a little. Obviously, you picked him, Rick. I did give him a chance, but I still have kind of a bias, which I should not have, because you can win from the outside. But he would be the one horse that I would focus on, again, because it's Fletcher, Velasquez, they're the best combination, essentially, in thoroughbred racing in America now. But the 18 kind of shied me away, and also kind of shied me away a little bit from Audible, again, because I didn't think of the Jody Mack angle on the owner.
Very interesting. Jody, how about you? In terms of any combinations you're looking to put together you would recommend for Saturday, any horses we didn't talk about that we should have, any angle you want to take, please go for it.
You got it. I'm quite happy with the three horses I collected. They will be the three I played on top. If Steve Fallon tips, I will lose. I can guarantee you that, because, yes, I don't like any of his horses. If you win it, Rick, I got a chance, because I like all of yours. I just don't think the winner is Funkster, but I think they can all run underneath somehow in the exactas and superfectas and the like. But I think it is a really fun Derby race, because there are so many horses that can get them about. And because of that, I think the money will be well spread. And I think if you hit it on Saturday, you got a chance to get a nice payoff, because Justify will be the favorite. I don't think he'll be any higher, any less than 5-2. Some people think he's going to get that down to 2-1 or less. I don't. I think it'll be at least 5-2 and maybe upwards of 3-1. So I think the prices will be good, and I hope everybody has a great time on Saturday. Guys, I appreciate you having me again. If you'd be so kind, I will gladly rejoin you again 2 weeks down the road.
Thank you so much, Jody. Next time we're talking horses, I definitely want to have you on. I appreciate you being on. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight for FDH Lounge mini episode number 984.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.